Welcome to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. As Siouxland has become increasingly culturally diverse, so has its celebrations. This Sunday, there will be a celebration of Mexican Independence Day in downtown Sioux City, outside of the Sioux City Public Museum. The event was created by the museum, Siouxland Public Media, and Irving Elementary School, which is a dual-language school. Mexican Independence Day celebrates the day Miguel Hidalgo is believed to have made the cry of independence in the town of Dolores in the north-central part of the Mexican state of Guanajuato. Hidalgo was one of the nation's leaders during the War of Independence in Mexico. There is no scholarly agreement on what exactly was said by Hidalgo, but his speech, also known as the Cry of Dolores, was made on September 16, 1810, to motivate people to revolt against the Spanish regime. Hidalgo's army fought against Spanish soldiers in the fight for independence, but he was captured and executed on July 30, 1811. Mexico's independence was not declared until September 28, 1821. Teresa Weaver Basie is with the Sioux City Public Museum. She says Mexican Independence Day will offer several kinds of cultural activities and opportunities.
It's the first time we've done it, so I don't know if I'd call it a festival yet, but it's a cultural celebration that we're going to host here at the museum with Siouxland Public Media, and we're working with Irving Elementary School. It's a family event. There'll be some education there too, music, dancing, food. I guess that's a festival.
And Irving, they have the dual language program, right?
Yes, they have. So they're in Irving Elementary School. They have this wonderful program where it's dual language, Spanish and English. And then in addition to that, that's, for example, where we have our La Tapatía dance group that comes from. So they're exploring, Hispanic heritage there through that as well. And, you know, when we started looking at this, we met with Irving and with KWIT, and we talked about doing a Cinco de Mayo event at the museum. And the reality is Cinco de Mayo is well celebrated here in the United States, but it isn't that big of a celebration in Mexico. And it's kind of an American holiday. And so there's nothing wrong with that, but we wanted to dig into authentic cultural celebrations and traditions. And so we looked at doing the Mexican Independence Day because of that. I also think there's a misconception that Americans think that Cinco de Mayo is Mexican Independence Day, and it's not. The other piece of that is we have a poster here at the museum from 1930 from Sioux City, and it's a celebration of Mexican Independence Day in Sioux City in 1930. So I can't say, I don't have enough information to know that it's been celebrated here for the past, almost 90 years, but we know at some point it has been. So it's going back to it's connecting to our own heritage in Sioux City to bring up a festival that was going on here almost 90 years ago.
Mexican Independence Day. Can you tell me a little bit about the history and what happened on that day?
I'll tell you a little bit. It's a complicated history. Obviously they were a colony just like the United States, a Spanish colony. And so there'd been numerous revolts, but this in 1810, on September 16th, there was a Spanish priest who started this revolt that eventually became a successful revolution in 1821. So it was the start of an 11-year process that ended with a treaty that became New Spain and that broke the ties to the original Spanish colonies. So that's what is happening here on September 16th. It was the start of their revolution.
So it's kind of like our Independence Day in a way.
I think that's it's very similar to that, and different, of course, because it was quite a few years later, and different groups of people that were involved in that. But this is really North American history. This is the history of our neighbor that we should know more about. The other part of this is there were so many indigenous people involved in this revolution. And Mexican history goes back to the Aztec people before then, to the Aztec and the Mayan people. And we're doing a little project this weekend at the event on the Mexican flag. And that Mexican flag, it draws on imagery that the Aztecs used when they founded Tenochtitlan, which is the city that Mexico City is founded upon. So there's just thousands of years of incredible history that it's a great opportunity for us to dig into.
So what kinds of things will people be able to experience on Sunday?
Okay, so we have a mariachi band from 1 to 2. We're going to have dancers from Irving Elementary School. We're going to have a couple of craft projects that kids and families can do together. There'll be some Mexican food trucks here as well. And so it's just kind of a short, we're calling it a pop-up ceremony, or a pop-up event, really. It's from 12 to 2. The band will be playing from 1 to 2, and we'll have a few speakers just talking a little bit about Mexican Independence Day, but not a big lecture, just, you know, an enjoying day. Come down, enjoy some tacos and popsicles, and listen to some music, watch some dancers. It just sounds like a fun Sunday afternoon.
It really seems like here at the museum, you've really been working hard to explore a lot of different cultures in the last few years. Do you find that really resonates with people around Siouxland?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people want to learn about their neighbors. So we have programs on Irish American history and Scandinavian history, and so now Mexican independence, Native history. This is so important to a community to learn all of this history, to learn, to share all the ethnicity, to share all the culture. That's really what the museum is all about. And so that's our mission. That's our goal, is to make sure people know about their heritage and their neighbor's heritage, because it's really all our community's history. Just looking forward to people coming down to the museum and this great partnership with Siouxland Public Media and with Sioux City Community Schools.
That was Teresa Weaver-Basey of the Sioux City Public Museum. The museum, along with Irving Elementary School and Siouxland Public Media, is organizing the celebration of Mexican Independence Day this Sunday afternoon from noon to 2 p.m. in front of the museum. The event is free and open to the public.
Me gusta tocar guitarra, me gusta cantar el sol. El mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón.
You're listening to The Exchange here on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. A lot of people have been upset about the election of President Donald Trump in the past 2 years, and there have been a slew of insults and complaints from both sides of the aisle. For best-selling writer Marianne Williamson, this constant fighting is damaging to the psyche of the American people. The writer is visiting Sioux City tomorrow night. She has recently released the 20th anniversary edition of her best-selling book, Healing the Soul of America. Williamson has been touring America this summer, talking about ways to heal the country as we approach the divisive midterm elections. Williamson says she's concerned about the spread of hate and bigotry over the last several years, but she believes that when people join together in pursuit of peace, a lot of good things can happen as well.
When people collectivize fear and hatred and racism and bigotry, this can have horrifying consequences. It has throughout history, and in some places it still does today. So I think it's a very critical issue for us to collectivize our love as best we can, to think of our love and our decency as something that we are responsible for, not only in our personal lives, but in our public and political relationships as well.
When you talk about collectivizing our love and our feelings, it really is more than just being together and agreeing, right?
Absolutely. If you see a child in a cage, that might not be your child, but as an American, you should care as much for the well-being of that child as for the well-being of your own. The love that will save us now is a love that goes beyond just love for our own children. It has to include love for children on the other side of town, on the other side of the world. We need to think in bigger terms than just blessing and protecting our own home now. We need to really embrace the realization that the earth itself is our home. I don't think that we are called by a higher power, the God of our understanding, just to be good people. I think we're called to be good nations. And what has happened in America is that we have allowed ourselves to become more concerned with being a rich society than with being a good society. And so the values, the deep human, universal human values that form the spine of a righteous life also form the spine of a righteous nation. And that has that kind of corruption, that moral corruption, that spiritual corruption has begun to so imbue our society over the last few decades that we have landed where we are. I don't think that Donald Trump got us off track so much as that we got off track and that got us Donald Trump. The cravenness, the moral compromise, the legitimization of greed that he so embodies had begun to infuse our culture long before he appeared as a political figure.
I was going to ask you about that because a lot of people are angry and point the finger at the president and blame him. But I have a hunch that it was something that sort of has always been with us.
And that force is a kind of hydra. If you cut off its head, it will just grow another one. Defeating Donald Trump electorally, and I certainly do hope that we do, but will not of itself solve the deeper fundamental problem. The force that he represents is something that we must rid ourselves of. We need a purification of our own hearts. That's the only way to deal with the problem on the level of cause. Otherwise, we'll always be playing whack-a-mole because a new iteration of the effect of that cause will always be among us. In terms of what you were just saying, that some of the worst aspects of the American psyche have always been there. Definitely, they've always been there. We had slavery. We had genocide of the Native Americans. We had institutionalized white supremacy, segregation, and so forth. But we thought that we had reached a consensus a few decades ago. I think that our society felt that it had reached a consensus. There were lines past which we would not go, that a certain kind of demonic impulse, and let's be clear, hatred is a demonic impulse. Those kinds of things would not be given legitimacy, we thought, ever again in America, either on the left or on the right. And those levees have broken. So I think that it would have been naive for anyone to think that those forces had been obliterated in America, but we thought that we had reached a point where they were asymptomatic enough. But I also think it's important to remember that if you look at the long line of American history, the larger narrative is that as much as we have gotten off track at times, we have always tended to self-correct. We had slavery, but then we also had abolition. We had oppression of women, but then we also had the suffragette movement and the passage of the 19th Amendment. We had institutionalized white supremacy and segregation, but then we also have the civil rights movement. So I think it's important to remember that this is not the first time in our history that we have had to push back against a real assault on any kind of democratic principle. Let's just not, I feel, be the first generation to wimp out on doing what it takes to get this country back on track. And cynicism is just an excuse for not helping.
You say we need a new whole person kind of politics. Now, what would that involve and how would we get there?
Everything in the world begins with a new vision and a new conversation inside our heads. The 21st century mind is different than the 20th century mind. And part of our problem is that our politics is stuck. Our traditional establishment politics is stuck within a very 20th century mindset. In the 21st century, we have a much more holistic understanding of life. We understand that the psychological and emotional issues involved in a situation underlie everything that happens externally. And so in any field, whether it be business or education or science or medicine or anything like that, people understand that the psychological, the emotional, the spiritual issues involved in any situation provide a context which is much more powerful and much more ameliorative and much more transformative. We simply need to appreciate that when it comes to politics as well. You can't put new wine in old bottles. When you talk about what's happened, when you see what has happened in America over the last 2 years, what was left out of the equation by both Republicans and Democrats was the very dangerous influence that would express itself, or very dangerous, was a very dangerous power that would inevitably express itself emerging from the fact that millions of Americans have been living for too long with chronic economic despair. That economic despair, that economic anxiety becomes a petri dish out of which all manner of political and societal dysfunction has always emerged. 'Twas always thus. We should see large groups of desperate people as a national security risk, whether in a corner of our country or in another corner of the world. And the fact that our political establishment did not realize that, thought that they could get away with allowing the level of wealth inequality that has been brewing for decades to continue without realizing the level of human suffering that this was creating among too many people, suffering which would express itself in a great howl at some point in some way, just goes to show that it is a politics that is blind to the most important realities of our time. And it is we the people who are not necessarily stuck within that very old-fashioned late 20th century political paradigm who are now starting a different conversation out of which I believe will emerge a different politics, out of which will emerge America's only chance for righting the ship before it's too late.
You seem to be reaching out to people of all parties, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, what have you. You don't seem to be just pointing the finger at one party.
I think one party has signed on unabashedly with forces of financial corruption of our political system, but I don't think the other party has been willing to address, as it has needed to, the underlying forces that that corruption represents. The U.S. Constitution does not even mention political parties. Our political conversation should be more expansive than that kind of categorization, which George Washington, and that spirit of party, as he called it, George Washington warned us against that in his farewell address. I'm interested in a conversation with the part of us that is on the other side of the hyphen. Republican American, Democratic American, Black American, Jewish American, Muslim American, gay American. It's the American conversation we all need to be having now. And that, to me, is not only where the deeper understanding we need to be reaching for right now lies, but it's also, to me, where our only hope lies.
That was author Marianne Williamson, whose best-selling book, Healing the Soul of America, is being reissued for its 20th anniversary. Williamson is speaking in Sioux City tomorrow night at the First Congregational Church at 7 p.m. on the spirit of democracy. For more information, go to evolvesiouxcity.com. You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. A lot of us feel sympathy for the large number of cats, dogs, and other pets that are left at animal shelters when they can no longer be cared for. This weekend, everyone will have an opportunity to meet up with a new animal friend at an event at PetSmart in Sioux City. In honor of National Adoption Weekend, PetSmart is working with 7 local groups to showcase 100 animals who are looking for their forever homes. Randy Levine has spent many years helping animals in California find their new homes. Since she's moved to Sioux City, she's been trying to do the same thing here, and she is an organizer of this weekend's event.
We have about 13 or 14 people that are coming together in this coalition to help animals. We all have the same goals. We want to help animals. What I find amazing about this coalition is, because, you know, coalitions sometimes are hard to do because people have to work with the other people, but it's phenomenal that these groups have come together for the sole purpose of saving more animals, regardless of what their philosophy says. If this person does it that way or that person does it that way, all these groups have been able to sort of put that aside and just come together and unite and help each other. It's quite amazing. So I'm really happy about that. And yeah, this is our first event coming up. So
how is this going to work then?
So we're going to be at PetSmart. It's National Adoption Weekend, and the adoption weekend is Friday through Sunday, but the coalition big event is going to be on Saturday the 15th. And so we have 7 groups coming. So we have 3 from this area and then 4 from outer areas. And they're going to bring their animals that need to find homes. And we're going to have almost over 100 animals up for adoption from Friday to Sunday. They'll all have their own tents with their animals underneath that you know need a home, dogs and cats. And I think it's great because a couple of reasons. One is the groups that are on the outside, you know, they aren't in a huge city like Sioux City, and so they're getting the opportunity to bring their animals to a big city to showcase them for adoption. And then, you know, all the people that live in Sioux City, they also have a variety of animals to choose from to bring into their homes.
So really, you're sort of bringing people together and in ways they wouldn't have come together before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they've tried it, I think, before, but I don't know. Maybe I just won't take no for an answer. I don't know.
Well, that can be good.
So, but really, I'm quite amazed. They've all really, just really, it's really great to see them working together.
So if a person wants to adopt an animal and they come to one of these, say they go to what, PetSmart, and they come on the day, was it sort of like when you go to the Humane Society and you fill out paperwork? And
yes, it's every rescue will have a different format. But generally, you would come to the event, you would meet a couple of dogs or a couple cats, whichever one you connect with, and then whatever rescue that is at, you would fill out an application, and there's always an adoption donation of some sort. And some rescues do home checks, some rescues don't, so people might be able to take some of the animals home with them that day, and others might have to wait just a couple days or, you know, a week or so before a volunteer can come do a home visit in their house. But either way, it's going to be, either way, you come there, adopt the dog and or cat, and then just follow whatever procedure that rescue does in order to get their dogs and cats adopted.
Is there a specific fee, or does it sort of depend?
It depends. Every rescue will have their own set fee. Some rescues, you know, sometimes when you have, like, let's say you're trying to adopt out an 8-year-old large senior dog, you know, that dog's probably going to come upon some vet issues a little bit sooner than maybe a 2-month-old puppy. So at least I know, like, from Karma Rescue in Los Angeles, we work with the family on the adoption donation because we know that they're going to face these issues, you know. And then also, like, thank you so much for adopting an 8-year-old large dog, because those are the ones that are hard to get out of the shelters mostly.
But you know, those dogs can be so loving and either settled down, they're not crazy.
Oh yeah, I think they're just like wine, they get better as they get older.
they may have problems, but it's not like taking on a puppy. Sometimes people aren't prepared for that because of all the, you know, the training, and it's a lot of work.
Yep, it is. It is. It's great work, but it is a lot of work. I mean, you have to teach the dog not to chew, not to go to the bathroom in the house, you know, how to have manners, whereas a lot of the senior dogs have already learned all that. So it's kind of like you could just kind of let them come right in and they just make themselves at home.
Is it different, like, here working on this issue than maybe in Los Angeles? I don't know how it would be different, but certainly a better climate in some ways than here.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, it's a much more progressive city, so there's a lot more resources in California than there are out here, as well as a lot more humane laws in California than there are out here. And so the difference is, in Los Angeles, though, you have massive volumes, so you have massive amounts of animals in shelters still, even though you have a bigger population to adopt them, or you have more resources. The problem's the same no matter where you're at. Too many dogs, too many cats, and not enough homes. But definitely there, I'm hoping to see Sioux City get some of those resources that we have in Los Angeles. Right now, the Tri-State Coalition is actually working very closely with Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. They're amazing. They actually gave us a grant for the event that's on coming up on September 15th. And they've brought a lot of resources to the area too. And so I'm hoping that our work together and our work with the help of Best Friends, that we'll get some of those resources out here as well.
That was Randy Levine, the organizer of this weekend's animal adoption event at PetSmart on Sargent Road in Sioux City. The event runs from Friday to Sunday with a creepy critter costume contest, prizes, and much more. This Friday, Western Iowa Tech Community College is hosting its first of what will be an annual music festival, GLOW. Along with the hip-hop act Dad, the Ruralists will headline. The band, which calls Sioux Center home, has recently released its first album, Birth of Birds, and has been receiving great reviews while building a committed following around their dynamic live show. Singer and guitarist Luke Hawley and guitarist Laramie DeVries joined Siouxland Public Media's Mark Munger.
I'm Luke Hawley.
I'm Laramie DeVries.
And together we are Wild Stallions.
Darling, cut off your hair, and I will bleed the marrow from my bones.
So I've been listening to your music for a long time. There must have been a lot of albums leading up to this, but this is the first.
This is the first full length. So we spent, 9 months on it or something. Recorded in the behind the Fruited Plain in Sioux Center, all this sort of foundational tracks, and then we just slowly, piece by piece, recorded everything else and put it together.
Yeah.
We're really proud of it.
Yeah. So. And we had been working, you know, we'd been playing all those songs or most of the songs,
yeah.
Live, you know, just for the, year or so leading up to that. So, and that was us developing the songs, I would say, but also that was our material. That was our concert material.
Well, this album, which is called The Birth of Birds, you can hear that. They sound like road-tested songs.
Yeah.
And one of the things I thought about when I was listening to it is that these feel like songs that are made with an audience in mind. For the audience response, the way that when they slow down,
how they slow down,
when they get loud, and how that would feel if you were in the audience. And then when I saw you guys performing in Sioux Center, I felt the audience responded in those ways. They loved those moments.
Yeah.
And they would sing along.
Yeah. That part has been, there's nothing better than people sort of breaking into singing along, particularly when everything cuts out and there's just, you know, you can hear them. Like, that's fantastic.
Came into my head, but I mean now I sort of feel like, well, we better do that for all of our subsequent music that we put together, because I think that
I don't know how people make, I mean, I've never had the luxury of like just being able to go into a studio with, you know, 20 ideas and cut it down to 10 songs or whatever. Like, I've always worked them out ahead of time, and some of the songs on this record, like, I wrote probably 10 years ago and have played them in different
And that was The Ruralists. The Ruralists will headline GLOW this Friday on the campus of Western Iowa Tech Community College. And that festival is free and open to the public. If you want more information about GLOW, the first thing you could do, you could go to witcc.edu/glow. Also, you can stick around for a few more minutes here, and we have Steve Smith in Studio A with a special guest.
Yes, thank you, Mary. You could just listen to this, and then you'll know everything you need to know about GLOW, because I'm joined with Andrea Rolina from
the Western Iowa Tech. I'm the marketing director
here at
WIT.
Department. Mm-hmm. Okay, and GLOW, this is kind of like a first-time event, but it's also kind of like a traditional event that we've had here at Western Iowa Tech. GLOW is kind of takes its origins from Wittstock.
Yep, that's right. So Western Iowa Tech is not a stranger to having live music on campus. Wittstock has been around for several years, and we just thought it was time to try something new and give it a new attitude. And so it is now called GLOW. And instead of it being a battle of the bands, we have invited some amazing local musicians to come and perform for the community on our campus. And so you just heard The Ruralists. They're incredible. So they're going to be headlining the concert on Friday. We also have a group called Dad, and they are a group of guys that actually rap about being fathers, and they are so fun and entertaining. They're going to be great. We also have Winter Wayfarer, we have Ghost Cat, and we have Vibrations. And I know that Ghost Cat, and I believe it was either Winter Wayfarer or Vibrations, they've been on the campus before, and they've participated in Battle of the Bands, so it'll be really great to have
them back.
As
a matter of fact, I think Ghost Cat won Battle of the Bands, I think, 3 times.
Did
so they're veterans. I was on the judging committee one of the years that they won it. So they're veterans of playing Wittstock now, GLOW. Why is it called GLOW?
We were brainstorming ideas about this event and how do we use the fact that it's going to be happening at night to our advantage. So we were playing around with different ideas. We thought about, well, what if we make it twinkle? And we thought about having twinkle lights and fairy lights. And then we thought, well, that doesn't seem very youthful and lively.
A little too youthful, like 7 and 8 year old girls.
We thought wedding. We kind of were thinking maybe it would feel like a wedding. So we decided to play off of glow. Like, let's just make it glow. Let's get glowing. Get your glow on. And we're going to have a whole bunch of, we've got glow in the dark t-shirts for sale. Oh. We're going to have glow jewelry that the audience can pick from. We're going to have glow decorations. Lots of different kinds of lights. It's just going to be a really great, fun atmosphere. And the people who come are invited to bring things that glow.
Okay, like those necklaces and bracelets that you wear for Halloween, for instance.
Wigs, like, right. Makeup, okay. Whatever they wanted to.
Now, I understand not one of the main stage performers, but one of the kind of sideshow performers is doing a glowing thing also?
Yes, we are so excited to have a local performer come. She does a circus kind of hula hoop acts, and her act will glow in the dark as well.
Oh, nice.
So it's amazing. We're going to be glad to have her on campus, and it'll be just something that makes this event even more special.
So you've got, the event begins at 5 o'clock?
The food trucks, and yes, we're having food trucks, so that's another.
We'll get to that.
Yes, they're going to be coming at 5, so there'll be food available on campus starting at 5 o'clock, and then the music will start at 6 o'clock.
And then it goes till 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. And the Ruralists are the last act. Yes. What's the official lineup?
I don't remember what the official lineup is, but if you want that specific information, you can go to our Facebook event. The lineup is on there as well as all of the different kinds of things that we've been doing leading up to the event. We've had some fun student activities surrounding it. We have some really great decorations on campus. We also have some more information about the food trucks that will be there and the local hula hoop performer.
And then what are the food trucks? I said we would talk about the food trucks, so we better cover that.
We have Dog Eat Dog coming, Sweet Treats by K&B, and we also just confirmed La Familia. So there's going to be a great variety of different kinds of foods. Also, Famous Dave's is going to be there.
Oh.
And they are also providing food for the public as well for sale.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So are they not in a food truck or?
I don't think they're in a food truck. They're in a tent.
Oh, okay. Well, that's close enough. As long as you can buy food from them. And the nice part about it, anytime that Famous Dave's is here, you smell barbecue.
That's true.
Now, this is going to be Friday, beginning at 5 with the food trucks. The music starts at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
There's Vibrations. There's the Ruralists are headlining Ghost Cat. Dad, great hip-hop duo, depending on if you count their DJ. And then
Winter Wayfarer,
mm-hmm. who's a great, very complex, progressive rock band out of Lamar's. And I think at least, well, one of them, their guitar player, Ryan Vandevecht, was an intern here at Siouxland Public Media over the summer.
I love the fact that we have 5 different bands and they all have different sounds, so you can stay from 6 to 11 and have a different experience every time there's a new band up on stage.
Right.
I also want to mention that it's in parking lot 2, so if you're not familiar with the Western Iowa Tech campus, just follow the signs. We'll have a lot of signage. It'll be in parking lot 2. We've had a little hiccup in regards to some repair work in parking lot 2, so ignore the pit.
There's a pit.
There's going to be some construction happening in the campus. We're thinking about putting in a pool there. I figured if everybody brought a bucket or a hose,
maybe a trampoline. Just put it in the bottom.
So many things that we can do with a giant hole in the ground. Luckily, it'll be taped off, so it'll be completely safe. But if you go around that, that's where the concert will be.
So is this before you get to the gymnasium part?
Yes. If you've gone to the gymnasium, you've gone too far, you're going to have to circle back around and come back.
All right. So it's GLOW. It's the first time event here at the Western Iowa Tech campus, and it's free, yes?
It is free, and it is family friendly. We'll have games and activities and fun things for the family to do during the 10-minute break between the bands. There will be food trucks. Bring lawn chairs or a blanket. and bring things that glow.
Okay. We've been talking to Andrea Rolina from the marketing department here at Western Iowa Tech about the upcoming GLOW event, which is Friday, getting underway at 5 o'clock, going till 11 o'clock, and wrapping up with the Ruralists, a bunch of other great bands, food trucks, the whole deal, the whole shooting match. And that is, again, this Friday right here at Western Iowa Tech parking lot, too. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Thanks so much. We hope to see you there.
And thank you, Steve and Andrea. And that's it for this edition of the Exchange. And you can listen on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll be live from the Siouxland Sioux City International Film Festival downtown. And we will be talking with many producers, actors, and people involved in the film industry from 9 to 10 a.m. live. And we hope you'll listen. And if you're around, stop by and say hi. We would appreciate it. Thanks so much for everyone who helped out with the show today, Mark Munger and Steve Smith, as well as Andrea Rolina. Coming up next here on Siouxland Public Media, we're going to go to Freakonomics. Freakonomics Radio is brought to you in part by Gregory Giles, an investment advisor representative with Legacy Financial LLC in Sioux City. Legacy has been serving the financial planning and investment needs of clients since 2004. More information about Legacy Financial and Greg Giles is available at 712-587-8070. Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning and advisory services offered through RDA Financial Network. And now it's time for Freakonomics. And that was the Ruralists. The Ruralists will headline GLOW this Friday on the campus of Western Iowa Tech Community College. And that festival is free and open to the public. If you want more information about GLOW, the first thing you could do, you could go to witcc.edu/GLOW. Also, you can stick around for a few more minutes here. And we have Steve Smith in Studio A with a special guest.
Yes, thank you, Mary. You could just listen to this, and then you'll know everything you need to know about GLOW, because I'm joined with Andrea Rolina from
the Western Iowa Tech. I'm the marketing director
marketing
here at WIT.
Marketing department. Mm-hmm. Okay. And GLOW, this is kind of like a first-time event, but it's also kind of like a traditional event that we've had here at Western Iowa Tech. GLOW is kind of takes its origins from WIT stock.
Yep, that's right. So Western Iowa Tech is not a stranger to having live music on campus. Woodstock has been around for several years, and we just thought it was time to try something new and give it a new attitude. And so it is now called GLOW. And instead of it being a battle of the bands, we have invited some amazing local musicians to come and perform for the community on our campus. And so you just heard the Ruralists. They're incredible. So they're going to be headlining the concert on Friday. We also have a group called Dad, and they are a group of guys that actually rap about being fathers, and right. They are so fun and entertaining. They're going to be great. We also have Winter Wayfarer, we have Ghost Cat, and we have Vibrations. And I know that Ghost Cat, and I believe it was either Winter Wayfarer or Vibrations, they've been on the campus before, and they've participated in Battle of the Bands, so it'll be really great to have them
back. As a matter of fact, I think Ghost Cat won Battle of the Bands, I think, three times.
Did
so
they?
They're veterans. I was on the judging committee one of the years that they won it. So they're veterans of playing Woodstock now, GLOW. Why is it called GLOW?
We were brainstorming ideas about this event, and how do we use the fact that it's going to be happening at night to our advantage? So we were playing around with different ideas. We thought about, well, what if we make it twinkle? And we thought about having twinkle lights and fairy lights. And then we thought, well, that doesn't seem very youthful and lively. Why not?
A little too youthful, like 7 and 8-year-old girl.
We thought wedding. We kind of were thinking maybe it would feel like a wedding. So we decided to play off of GLOW. Like, let's just make it GLOW. Let's get glowing. Get your GLOW on. And we're going to have a whole bunch of, we've got glow in the dark t-shirts for sale.
Oh.
We're going to have GLOW jewelry that the audience can pick from. We're going to have GLOW decorations. lots of different kinds of lights. It's just going to be a really great, fun atmosphere. And the people who come are invited to bring things that glow.
Okay, like those necklaces and bracelets that you wear for Halloween, for instance.
Wigs, like, right. Makeup, okay. Whatever they wanted to.
Now, I understand not one of the main stage performers, but one of the kind of sideshow performers is doing a glowing thing also?
Yes, we are so excited to have a local performer come. She does a circus kind of hula hoop acts, and her act will glow in the dark as well.
Oh, nice.
So it's amazing. We're going to be glad to have her on campus, and it'll be just something that makes this event even more special.
So you've got, the event begins at 5 o'clock?
The food trucks, and yes, we're having food trucks, so that's another.
We'll get to that.
Yes. They're going to be coming at 5, so there'll be food available on campus starting at 5 o'clock, and then the music will start at 6 o'clock.
And then it goes till 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And the Ruralists are the last act. Yes. What's the official lineup?
Don't remember what the official lineup is, but if you want that specific information, you can go to our Facebook event. The lineup is on there as well as all of the different kinds of things that we've been doing leading up to the event. We've had some fun student activities surrounding it. We have some really great decorations on campus. We also have some more information about the food trucks that will be there and the local hula hoop performer.
And then what are the food trucks? I said we would talk about the food trucks,
yes,
so we better cover that.
We have Dog Eat Dog coming, Sweet Treats by K&B, and we also just confirmed La Familia. So there's going to be a great variety of different kinds of foods. Also, Famous Dave's is going to be there.
Oh.
And they are also providing food for the public as well for sale.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So are they not in a food truck or?
I don't think they're in a food truck. They're in a tent.
Oh, okay. Well, that's close enough. As long as you can buy food from them. And the nice part about it, anytime that Famous Dave's is here, you smell barbecue.
That's
true.
When you
pull up.
That's true.
Now, this is going to be Friday, beginning at 5 with the food trucks. The music starts at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
There's Vibrations. There's the Ruralists are headlining Ghost Cat. Dad, great hip-hop duo, depending on if you count their DJ. And then
Winter Wayfarer,
who's a great, very complex, progressive rock band out of Lamar's. And I think at least, well, one of them, their guitar player, Ryan Vandevecht, was an intern here at Siouxland Public Media over the summer.
I love the fact that we have 5 different bands and they all have different sounds, so you can stay from 6 to 11 and have a different experience every time there's a new band up on stage.
Right.
I also want to mention that it's in parking lot 2, so if you're not familiar with the Western Iowa Tech campus, just follow the signs. We'll have a lot of signage. It'll be in parking lot 2. We've had a little hiccup in regards to some repair work in parking lot 2. So ignore the pit.
There's a pit.
There's going to be some construction happening in the campus. We're thinking about putting in a pool there. I figured if everybody brought a bucket or a hose,
maybe a trampoline. Just
maybe
put it there in the bottom.
So many things that we can do with a giant hole in the ground. Luckily, it'll be taped off, so it'll be completely safe. But if you go around that, that's where the concert will be.
So is this before you get to the gymnasium part?
Yes. If you've gone to the gymnasium, you've gone too far, you're going to have to circle back around and come back.
All right. So it's GLOW. It's the first time event here at the Western Iowa Tech campus, and it's free, yes?
It is free, and it is family-friendly. We'll have games and activities and fun things for the family to do during the 10-minute break between the bands. There will be food trucks. Bring lawn chairs or a blanket. And bring things that glow.
Okay. We've been talking to Andrea Rolina from the marketing department here at Western Iowa Tech about the upcoming GLOW event, which is Friday, getting underway at 5 o'clock, going till 11 o'clock, and wrapping up with the Ruralists, a bunch of other great bands, food trucks, the whole deal, the whole shooting match. And that is, again, this Friday right here at Western Iowa Tech, parking lot 2. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Thanks so much. We hope to see you there.
And thank you, Steve and Andrea. And that's it for this edition of the State of... this edition of The Exchange. And you can listen on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll be live from the Siouxland Sioux City International Film Festival. downtown, and we will be talking with many producers, actors, and people involved in the film industry from 9 to 10 a.m. live. And we hope you'll listen, and if you're around, stop by and say hi. We would appreciate it. Thanks so much for everyone who helped out with the show today, Mark Munger and Steve Smith, as well as Andrea Rolina. Coming up next here on Siouxland Public Media, we're going to go to Freakonomics. Freakonomics Radio is brought to you in part by Gregory Giles, an investment advisor representative with Legacy Financial LLC in Sioux City. Legacy has been serving the financial planning and investment needs of clients since 2004. More information about Legacy Financial and Greg Giles is available at 712-587-8070. Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning and advisory services offered through RDA, Financial Network. And now it's time for Freakonomics.